Brother James D. Gordon III currently serves as the Marion B. and Rulon A. Earle Professor of Law at the J. Reuben Clark Law School at Brigham Young University. He received a bachelor's degree in political science at BYU and a Juris Doctorate at the University of California, Berkeley. He clerked for Judge Monroe McKay of the U.S. 10th Circuit Court of Appeals and then practiced law in Salt Lake City. He has served as an associate academic vice president for faculty at BYU and as an associate dean and interim dean of the law school. He and his wife, Nadine, are the parents of 9 children, and they currently have 1 grandchild.
Thank you for that beautiful, inspiring musical number. I appreciate it very much. I'm happy to be here with you today. I remember when I was a student in college. Like some of you, I had trouble deciding what my major should be. First, I thought about majoring in economics. That way, if I couldn't get a job after I graduated, at least I would understand why. Then I thought I might major in physical education. I went down to the gym to lift weights, but the laughter made it difficult to concentrate. I sampled some classes, but I didn't always do very well. Once I took a geography test that asked, "What is the capital of Wyoming?" I wrote, "The capital of Wyoming is W." I know it's dumb, but you'll tell it later. I also took a photography class. I just about went crazy trying to take a close-up of the horizon. The teacher in that class gave me an F-. He said giving me an F would be unfair to the people who failed normally. I studied chemistry, but I thought that there were only 4 elements on the periodic table: earth, air, fire, and water. I thought that fire has 3 electrons in the outer shell. I do feel it's important to understand math. It's been reported that 60% of Americans cannot do basic math. 60%. That's almost half. I considered studying a foreign language, but then I thought, if we were intended to learn a foreign language, then how come the Bible was originally written in English? Seriously, I'd like to speak about the joy of education and lifelong learning. Life is a test, and life is also a school. The Lord has invited us to seek learning. He said, "Seek ye diligently, and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by study, and also by faith." He commanded early church leaders to study and learn and become acquainted with all good books and with languages, tongues, and people. President Thomas S. Monson has said, "Your talents will expand as you study and learn. You will be able to better assist your families in their learning, and you will have peace of mind in knowing that you have prepared yourself for the eventualities that you may encounter in life." President Gordon B. Hinckley taught young people, quote, "You belong to a church that teaches the importance of education. You have a mandate from the Lord to educate your minds and your hearts and your hands. The Lord has said, 'Teach ye diligently of things both in heaven and in the earth, and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass, things which are at home, things which are abroad, the wars and the perplexities of the nations, and the judgments which are on the land, and a knowledge also of countries and of kingdoms, that ye may be prepared in all things.'" President Hinckley continued, "Mind you, these are not my words. These are the words of the Lord, who loves you. He wants you to train your minds and hands to become an influence for good as you go forward with your lives. And as you do so, and as you perform honorably and with excellence, you will bring honor to the church, for you will be regarded as a man or a woman of integrity and ability and conscientious workmanship." Close quote. It is a great privilege for you to study at Brigham Young University, Idaho. BYU Idaho plays an important role in higher education. Religiously affiliated institutions of higher education help serve the needs of many people and increase the pluralism and diversity among universities. Michael W. McConnell has observed that religious universities contribute to the ethical, cultural, and intellectual life of our nation. You have the opportunity to learn in an environment that is consistent with the principles of the gospel. Being a student here is a position of trust. As you know, the church pays for much of your education. You have the responsibility to study hard, to observe the standards of the university, and to prepare yourself for future service. Hopefully, throughout your life, you will look back on your time here with fondness, and you will cherish the memories. Most people in the world do not have the same opportunities for education that you have. It's important to be grateful for the opportunities and to use them wisely. I'd like to offer some advice as you pursue your education here. I hope that in doing so, I don't sound like Polonius to Laertes in Shakespeare's play, Hamlet, especially when I remember what happened to Polonius. I'm not referring to the fact that he was killed behind the arras, but rather that over the centuries, he has been portrayed by literally thousands of bad actors. First, you might recall a story about a person who was asked to build a house. He decided to cut corners, use cheap materials, and do a poor job. When he was done, the owner handed him the key and said, "I'd like to give you this house as a gift." Attending the university is like that. You can work hard and do a good job, or you can cut corners and do a poor job. Either way, you're the person who will live in the house for the rest of your life. Your education will enable you to serve others and to provide a living for you and your family. When you graduate, you will receive the key. You will have built your own house of learning. Oddly, in education, some people want to get less than what they pay for. The reason is that while one cost is tuition, an additional cost is the work required to learn. If you decide not to work hard, not only will you cheat yourself, but also you will affect others who will depend on you, including your family and the people whom you will serve. I encourage you to work diligently, to learn a lot, and to prepare well for the future. Second, try to do things that enrich your education, like doing an internship, working in student leadership, writing for the school newspaper or another publication, or belonging to a student club that focuses on a particular interest. Perhaps you can be a tutor or a teaching assistant, or participate in a performing group. When you look back on your time here, those special experiences will stand out. I tell my students that when I was in high school, I was on the chess team. I tell them that I had a rook on my letterman's jacket. Do you know what it says when you walk into the cafeteria with a rook on your letterman's jacket? "Don't mess with me, pal. Checkmate." Third, take time for service. It's important to fulfill church callings and to perform other service. Service is important for its own sake, and it helps you to keep a broader perspective and to stay balanced. Fourth, become friends with other students. Even though your classmates are not as good-looking as you are, most of them are bright, good, and interesting people. The friendships you make can last throughout your whole life and can be a particularly sweet aspect of your university experience. Take time to make friends. When I was in high school, I didn't have many friends. Once I told my dad that the other kids were giving me a hard time about my religion. My father sat down next to me, and in his fatherly way, he said, "Son, it doesn't matter what race you are or what religion you are. There will always be people who don't like you because you're irritating." Fifth, enjoy your university education. it's exciting, fascinating, challenging, and fun. The secret to happiness is not to look forward to some future time when all your problems will be solved. The secret is to be happy today. There is joy in learning. In some Hebrew schools, a special ceremony occurs on the first day of class. The teacher places a drop of honey on the cover of a book and gives the book to the student who licks the honey off. The symbolic message is that learning is sweet. Your university education is a wonderful time of preparation for the future. You have a mission in life. That mission has multiple dimensions. You have agency to choose your life's work and goals. Your education will help you to accomplish those goals and to fulfill your mission. Hopefully, your university education will provide a foundation for lifelong learning. Two reasons that we should continue to learn are to grow and to increase our capacity to serve. Brigham Young said, "Our education should be such as to improve our minds and fit us for increased usefulness, to make us of greater service to the human family." Elder Dallin H. Oaks and Sister Kristen M. Oaks have written, quote, "As Latter-day Saints, we believe in education, and we have a philosophy about how and why we should pursue it. Our religious faith teaches us that we should seek learning by the Spirit, and that we have a stewardship to use our knowledge for the benefit of mankind." They also wrote, "There are few things more fulfilling and fun than learning something new. Great happiness, satisfaction, and financial rewards come from this. And education is not limited to formal study. Lifelong learning can increase our ability to appreciate and relish the workings and beauty of the world around us. This kind of learning goes well beyond books and a selective use of new technology such as the internet. It includes artistic endeavors. It also includes experiences with people and places, conversations with friends, visits to museums and concerts, and opportunities for service. We should expand ourselves and enjoy the journey." Close quote. The most important and fulfilling area of lifelong learning is gospel study. It's important to read the scriptures often so that they become part of our lives. Reading the scriptures reminds us of the Lord's commandments, the covenants that we have made to keep them, and the blessings of the gospel. Reading the scriptures also invites the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit guides our decisions and helps us to learn. Elder Russell M. Nelson said, "Faith is nurtured through knowledge of God. It comes from prayer and feasting upon the words of Christ through diligent study of the scriptures." Close quote. President Marion G. Romney, a former member of the First Presidency, told this story. "A few years ago, as I began to practice law, members of my family were a little uneasy. They were afraid I would lose my faith. I wanted to practice law, but I had an even greater desire to keep my testimony. And so I decided upon a little procedure which I recommend to you. For 30 minutes each morning before I began the day's work, I read from the Book of Mormon. I also read from all the other standard works of the church, but I am talking now about the Book of Mormon. And in just a few minutes a day, I read the Book of Mormon through every year for 9 years. I know that it kept me in harmony, so far as I did keep in harmony, with the Spirit of the Lord." Close quote. The Aaronic Priesthood Commitment states, "I will obtain as much education as possible." One of the young women's values is knowledge. These things are not limited to formal education. We can be lifelong learners. We can read good books. We can read a newspaper and keep up on current events. We can take institute and other classes. Continual learning helps us to increase our understanding and to live a fuller and richer life. It helps us to improve as participants and leaders in our families, in the church, and in civic affairs. Speaking of civic affairs, recently a study showed that only 25% of Americans can name at least two of the freedoms protected by the First Amendment. By contrast, more than half of Americans can name at least two members of The Simpsons. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think you should be allowed to vote unless you can name at least three members of The Simpsons. Regardless of one's opportunities for formal education, a person can engage in lifelong learning. For example, here is a wrench. This wrench happened to belong to my grandfather. He was only able to go to school through the 8th grade. He worked as a mechanic. He brought books about diesel engines home from work, and he read them. Eventually, he became the supervisor over all the diesel equipment for a company in the San Francisco Bay Area. Although his opportunity for formal education was limited, he kept learning on his own. I love the joy of learning. For example, I've always enjoyed words. When I was a boy and I would encounter a word I didn't know, sometimes I would ask my father what it meant. He would often reply, "Look it up." My father usually knew the answer, but he wanted me to learn how to look words up. So I would open up the dictionary on the bookshelf and look the word up. Later, I wanted to learn more words. One summer, a friend and I worked as groundskeepers at the Oakland, California Temple. On some days, we would each write 5 words and their definitions on a 3x5 card and put the card in our shirt pocket. Then we would share the words and use them in sentences during the day. My favorite word from that summer was halcyon. It means calm, tranquil, or golden. As we pulled weeds and performed other physical labor, we would exclaim, "Oh, those halcyon days of youth." Now, as I look back, I see that they really were halcyon days. I also like oxymorons. You probably know what oxymorons are. They're self-contradicting phrases. For example, jumbo shrimp. How about professional wrestling? Or reasonable attorney's fee? In addition, I like collective nouns. As you probably know, a group of lions is called a pride. A group of geese is a gaggle. There are also a pod of whales, a shrewdness of apes, and a crash of rhinos. We could think of other possibilities. How about a complex of psychiatrists? Or maybe a glut of lawyers? Another example involving learning is music. Some time ago, I decided to try to learn more about classical music. It's said that a sign of sophistication is being able to listen to the William Tell Overture without thinking of the Lone Ranger. I failed the test. To learn more, I purchased old recordings of classical music at Desert Industries. I also learned a little about various composers. It took me a while to appreciate the music of Richard Wagner. Mark Twain said about Richard Wagner's music, "It's not as bad as it sounds." I still don't know very much about classical music, but it has become a great source of enjoyment for me. How does one make time to continue learning? I believe in consistent incremental progress, small steps over time. There is an old saying, "By the yard, it's hard, but by the inch, it's a cinch." For example, a person does not learn to play the piano in a single day. One must practice daily for several years. After many small increments, one can eventually play hymns, popular songs, or classical music. Lifelong learning is like that. We can create some time each day to study the scriptures. We can also read other books a little each day. This relates to the concept of line upon line and precept upon precept. President Wilford Woodruff said, "Do not be discouraged because you cannot learn all at once. Learn one thing at a time. Learn it well and treasure it up. Then learn another truth and treasure that up. And in a few years, you will have a great store of useful knowledge, which will not only be a great blessing to yourselves and your children, but to your fellow men." Close quote. I love to read. I tell my law students that my first job was as a proofreader in an M&M factory. Groucho Marx said, outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. I take a bus to and from work, and this time is my reading time. Also, as I mentioned previously, I like classical music, but I don't want to take the time to sit and listen to a recording. Instead, I play classical music while I get ready for work in the morning. The reading and the listening involve short periods each day. However, over time, the minutes add up to many hours of enjoyable reading and listening to music, and these things enrich the quality of life. Another example involves a book group. For more than 20 years, Nadine and I have belonged to a book group with some friends. During the school year, we meet about monthly. We take turns. A couple chooses a book, hosts the book group in their home, leads the discussion, and serves refreshments afterwards. We've read books about gospel principles, biography, science, and other topics, and we've read novels and poetry. I had never even heard of many of these books before, but I have enjoyed reading them very much. If lifelong learning is a priority for you, you will choose your own ways to make time for it. Like everything that is worthwhile, lifelong learning requires effort. We invest time, money, and hard work to learn. Is it worth it? We might consider the words of former Harvard University president Derek Bach. He said, "If you think education is expensive, try ignorance." Also, there is joy in learning. It helps us to grow and progress, to develop personally, to expand our minds, and to increase our wisdom and judgment. It helps us to prepare for additional ways to serve our Heavenly Father and His children. Elder and Sister Oaks wrote, quote, "The acquisition of knowledge is a lifelong, sacred activity, pleasing to our Father in heaven and favored by His servants," close quote. Now, there are two issues connected with learning about which we must be careful. First, learning can lead to pride. In 2 Nephi, Jacob wrote the following, and we read this, I'm very happy we read this as the scripture for today. "Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God." President Ezra Taft Benson taught, quote, "Pride is the universal sin, the great vice. The antidote for pride is humility, meekness, submissiveness. It is the broken heart and the contrite spirit. God will have a humble people. Either we can choose to be humble or we can be compelled to be humble." Alma said, "Blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Let us choose to be humble," close quote. Humility is a key virtue for a lifelong learner. Humility generates learning, while thinking that we already know all the answers interferes with our learning. Humility also prevents us from setting ourselves up as a light that competes with or contradicts the truths and authority of the gospel. All of us, no matter who we are, all of us have much to learn. Will Rogers said, "You know, everybody is ignorant, only on different subjects." Second, we should expect that at times apparent conflicts may arise between our academic disciplines and the gospel. Often, secular disciplines approach issues differently than the gospel does. The story is told of a philosophy professor who died and went to heaven. St. Peter asked, "I see that you were a philosopher. Can you state a truth that you learned through your study of philosophy?" The man thought for a few minutes. Finally, he said, "No, but I'll tell you what. You state a truth, and I'll show you how to rebut it." Well, the gospel encompasses all truth. President George Albert Smith said, quote, "I want to say that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints accepts all that is true in the world, from whatever source it may come, with the knowledge that it originates from the greatest of all scientists, our Father in heaven." Close quote. Internationally renowned scientist Henry Eyring wrote, quote, "The gospel then is the search for truth, and there is only one truth. There is a God in heaven, who, if he is God over the world and the universe, certainly understands everything. And inside his mind, there must be no contradiction." Close quote. When human knowledge and the gospel appear to conflict, we should remember that human knowledge is limited. Eternal truth is not limited, but our understanding of it is limited. After this life, if we are worthy, we will understand all truth. Meanwhile, we seek answers to faithful questions. We study, we ponder, we pray, we have patience, and we work hard. We exercise faith in God. He blesses us with greater knowledge, understanding, and peace in our lives. Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, "In my own education, I have found that basic gospel truths could be harmonized with the great secular truths. And those gospel truths which, for the moment, could not be harmonized, could be regarded expectantly, for ultimately all truths belong to the gospel. Not all theories, but all truths." To so realize was an emancipating feeling then and is now, for the feeling has never diminished, only increased. Close quote. We should be humble about what we know and what we do not know. An angel appeared to Nephi. Nephi wrote, "And he said unto me, Knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things." Well, none of us knows the meaning of all things, but we do know that God loves his children. God's wisdom supersedes human knowledge. Elder Oaks has written, quote, "We are commanded to seek learning by study, the way of reason, and by faith, the way that relies on revelation. Both are pleasing to God. He uses both ways to reveal light and knowledge to his children. But when it comes to a knowledge of God and the principles of the gospel, we must give primacy to revelation, because that is the Lord's way." Close quote. We should also remember to put the gospel, not our academic discipline or our educational accomplishments, first in our lives. President Spencer W. Kimball, writing about idols, observed, quote, "Intangible things make just as ready gods. Degrees and letters and titles can become idols." Close quote. Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." He also said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." A faithful scholar needs to have charity. Charity is the pure love of Christ. It is the kind of love that the Savior has for us. It is Christ-like love. Paul wrote, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, rejoiceth in the truth. Charity never faileth." It's been said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. When we become parents, we should try to create an environment of learning for our children. One of the challenges in rearing children is that they tend to be like us. I've discovered that this is true. I had a parent-teacher conference with my son's teacher. She said, "He's very bright." I said, "Thank you." She said, "He has a lot of potential." I said, "Thank you." She said, "But sometimes his mind tends to wander." And I said, "Excuse me?" How can we help our children to experience the joy of learning? One thing we can do is to read to them. When I was young, I was blessed that my parents read to me. My favorite book was a children's book called My Puppy. This is a reissued copy of the book. It was about a cute little puppy with big brown eyes. My father jokingly says that when he read the book to me, we both cried. I cried because I loved the book so much. And he cried because he hated the book so much. Both of my parents have always read a great deal, and they both read to me. Time spent reading to our children is precious. Strickland Galilean wrote, "You may have tangible wealth untold, caskets of jewels and coffers of gold. Richer than I, you can never be. I had a mother who read to me." President Hinckley said, quote, "Begin early in exposing children to books. It takes time, yes, much of it. It takes self-discipline. It takes organizing and budgeting the minutes and hours of the day. But it will never be a bore as you watch young minds come to know characters, expressions, and ideas. Good reading can become a love affair, far more fruitful in long-term effects than many other activities in which children use their time. Parents, work at the matter of creating an atmosphere in your homes. Let your children be exposed to great minds, great ideas, everlasting truth, and those things which will build and motivate for good. I wish to urge every parent within the sound of my voice to try to create within your home an atmosphere of learning and the growth which will come of it." In the Doctrine and Covenants, it says that intelligence is light and truth. It also says, "Whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come." Notice, it says that intelligence is obtained through diligence and obedience. That is an important principle. In the very next verses, it says, "There is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world, upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. If we do our best, God will strengthen us beyond our natural abilities and will bless us. This is a wonderful time to be on the earth. There are so many opportunities for learning, growth, and service. I hope that we will strive to use our disciplines in our discipleship and to use our talents to serve the human family and to serve God." President Kim B. Clark has summarized the mission of BYU-Idaho with two words, disciple and leader. Education and lifelong learning can help us to develop as disciples and leaders. I have a testimony of the gospel. I testify that Heavenly Father lives and loves us, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. The gospel is true. I am grateful that the gospel emphasizes learning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.